Greetings, everyone, and welcome back to our Standing Watch program. Pope Benedict's announcement of his resignation has shocked the world. But now the next question is, what's going to happen? Who is going to be the next pope? Now, there are all kinds of interesting speculations floating around as to who is going to inspire that forthcoming election, and people say it's going to be God, Jesus Christ, Mother Mary, the Holy Spirit, even demonic forces, and others have a much more mundane and earthly explanation. I'd like to begin by reading to you from some of the articles which have been published. Here's an article by Der Spiegel Online, dated February 11, saying this: Benedict's resignation reshuffles the cards. Power structures could shift as a result, however slightly, when a new pope, possibly even one from another continent, blesses the world from St. Peter's Basilica this Easter. It is a prospect that fills many leading Catholics in Germany with hope, others with fear. The pope, though, has taken some steps to ensure that his political legacy will continue in Rome, particularly through his appointment of former Regensburg Archbishop Gerhard Ludwig Müller. As the head of the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, Müller is a rough and ready guarantee of strict orthodoxy on central Vatican positions. The Associated Press added this on February 11. The announcement will also allow Benedict to hold great sway over the choice of his successor. He has already handpicked the bulk of the College of Cardinals, the princes of the Church who will elect the next pope, to guarantee his conservative legacy and ensure an orthodox future for the Church. The last pope to resign was Pope Gregory XII, who stepped down in 1415 in a deal to end the Great Western Schism among competing papal claimants. The most famous resignation was Pope Celestine V in 1294. Dante placed him in hell for it. Benedict called it prophetic that a German followed a Polish pope, both men coming from such different sides of World War II. The Guardian had this to say on February 11. By the time the conclave begins, there is likely to be at least some consensus over the leading contenders. Catholics believe that once behind the shut doors of the Sistine Chapel, the cardinals are guided to their decision by God directly, in the guise of the Holy Spirit. Anything becomes possible. Now, in his resignation, Pope Benedict wrote this: Let us entrust the Holy Church to the care of our Supreme Pastor, our Lord Jesus Christ, and implore His Holy Mother Mary, that she may assist the Cardinal Fathers with her maternal solicitude in electing a new Supreme Pontiff. Deutsche Welle wrote on February 11, In terms of church politics, Pope Benedict XVIII's eight-year tenure was a period of transition, but he did leave his own mark by appointing nearly half of the cardinals who will now elect his successor. And the Washington Times agreed, saying this: It will be the first conclave to take place with a previous pope still alive, since the one that selected Boniface in 1294, and it is clear Benedict will yield great influence over a conclave in which every voting cardinal was appointed either by Benedict or by John Paul, with the counsel of Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger, Benedict's name before he became pope. Vatican experts said cardinals will know that whatever decision they may make will be judged by the man he replaced. A strong figure like Benedict will be in the conclave even if he is not there physically, said Alastair Sear, a retired church historian. He will be in their thoughts as they cast their votes. And the Washington Post added this on February 11. Catholic debate in the United States often centers on issues such as whether the church should allow the ordination of women or married priests. But those are not the debates of the cardinals, all of whom were picked by Benedict or his like-minded predecessor, Pope John Paul II. They are in agreement on such matters as allowing female priests, contraception, or equality for gays and lesbians, no, no, and no. So we see the course of conduct is not going to change. The Catholic Church will remain on its conservative course, and the conservative course will even be resurrected more. Now, the question which comes up is the next pope going to be a black pope? Newsmax asked that very question on February 11, saying, will a black pope replace Benedict? And then they said, Peter Turkson from Ghana is one of the top African candidates. Head of the Vatican Justice and Peace Bureau, he is spokesman for the Church's social conscience and backs world financial reform. And the Daily Mail added something very interesting on February 12. A sign from God? Lightning strikes the Basilica of St. Peter's Dome earlier this evening during a storm that struck Rome on the same day Pope Benedict XVI announced his resignation. The decision is unprecedented. He is the first pope to resign since Gregory XII in 1415, and no pontiff in history was stepped down on health grounds. There are several papal contenders, including Ghanaian Cardinal Peter Kodwo Appiah Turkson, who is a front-runner to become the first black pope. The Vatican stressed that no specific medical condition prompted Benedict's decision. Now, that's quite interesting in light of a quote-unquote prophecy by a seer with the name of Malachi, who allegedly foretold that the last pope would be a black pope with the name of Peter. Now, I have here an article which was published in a book called Prophecy of the Millennium, and this interesting article points out the following. It says that according to Malachi, there are only two more popes to come before the end of the world. Now, the first one of the two would have been Benedict, so now we are talking about the last pope, right? Significantly, the last pope will have the same name as the first shepherd of the Roman Catholic Church, the Apostle Peter. Malachi refers to the second Peter as Petrus Romanus, or Peter of Rome, and he has more to say about him than any of the other pontiffs. His prophecy is clear. This Peter will feed his flock among many tribulations, after which the seven-hilled city will be destroyed, and the dreadful judge will judge the people. Now, I want you to remember the term dreadful judge. This author, he goes on to say, it's clear from this that Pope Peter will preside over the end of the Roman Catholic Church, which will suffer persecution, perhaps at the hands of Antichrist. The word tribulation is commonly used to describe the immediate pre-millennium period. The seven-hilled city is obviously Rome itself. The dreadful judge may well be a reference to Christ, who will come to sit at the right hand of God, the Father, to judge the living and the dead. Now, do you really believe, first of all, that a prophecy coming from God would refer to Christ as the dreadful judge? In another article taken from the internet, the question was asked, where does this idea from the black pope coming from? And this article says that it doesn't come from the Bible, but rather from the visions of St. Malachi in the 12th century. In approximately AD 1139, St. Malachi received a vision in which it was revealed to him that there would be 112 more popes, with the last one being the black pope. Now, of course, some say, well, the word black doesn't necessarily refer to color, it refers to just his character. Others feel that this prophecy is a complete forgery. All of these things were given to Malachi allegedly in Latin, and of course then the certain obscure terms were later reinterpreted, and some say, well, the prophecy didn't show up until the 16th century anyhow. Who was this Malachi? Now, Malachi was an Irish priest. He was also a Kabbalist, as people tell us. In other words, this obscure mystic belief in an immortal soul which can come back into the body, they believed in reincarnation. The official explanation, even by the Kabbalists, is that's a mystical and esoteric religion, an explanation more of the records which are concealed in the Torah. Now, do we really believe that God would have given such a person prophecies having to do with the end times? Now, if these prophecies, quote-unquote, were not just a fabrication, it appears very clear to me that they were coming from demonic sources. And we got to be very careful with those, because first of all, even though demons sometimes know the truth, know the future, I should say, they lie. They're lying spirits. But apart from the fact that they are lying spirits, and you can never trust what they're telling you, it is also interesting that the Bible clearly and strictly prohibits us to have anything to do with anything coming from demonic sources. Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 31 tells us, "Regard not them that have familiar spirits, neither seek after visits to be defiled by them." Leviticus chapter 20, verse 6 and verse 27 tell us, "And the person who turns to mediums and familiar spirits to prostitute himself with them, I will set my face against that person. A man or a woman who is a medium or has a familiar spirit shall surely be put to death." Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 19 warns us, "And when they say to you, seek those who are mediums and wizards who whisper and mutter, should not a people seek their God? Should they seek the dead on behalf of the living?" To consult mediums, to take heed of quote-unquote prophecies which stem from demons, is something which God clearly prohibits. We don't need this kind of stuff to find out what the future holds. The Bible tells us very clearly, my friends, what the future holds. The prophecies of the Bible are clear. There's going to be one last resurrection of the ancient Roman Empire in Europe, which is going to be led by two charismatic people, one religious figure, and one political military figure. And they are going to throw this world in what is called the Great Tribulation. These times are near, and so we need to watch them, regardless of whether the new pope is going to be black or white or whatever. This is not something to look for. What is something to look for is the fact that the Bible tells us bad times are ahead of us, serious times are ahead of us. We might very well reach the time shortly before Christ's return. But let's focus on what the Bible says and not on obscure mystical concepts and ideas which might very well be either forgeries or demonic. Let's look to God and let's look to His law and to His word. Thank you very much for listening. This is Norbert Link for the Standing Watch program.